welcome to the final week of our series called Great Expectations. Life is not about just getting through the day, hoping that nothing goes wrong. No, you were made to shine, to excel, to become all you were created to be. And expecting great things from God helps us to enjoy and be grateful for each new day that He gives us. And so in this series, we've been inviting you to see with new eyes, expand your vision, and believe again in the God who does exceedingly more than we ask or imagine. And as we've been talking about throughout this series, when you make the hard choice and honor God with your life, you're making a great investment in your faith, and you can expect an even greater return on that investment down the line. When you take up your cross during hard times, face failures, disappointments, hurts, and keep being your best, God will move you past that cross to a place of healing and a season of victory. When you're trustworthy in the small things of life, you can expect success and new opportunities, but not just in this life, but also in the next, as we've been saying, because what you do in the here and now echoes forever in eternity. And then last week, we said that each new day is an opportunity to go further, rise higher, make a greater difference in the world. And when you go beyond the minimum, do more than what is expected or required, keep loving, keep serving, keep giving, keep stirring up your faith, that's when God will take you places you never dreamed of. Places you never dreamed of, because He has always has more in store for you. Today, in the final week of this series, I want to talk with you about one last great expectation. I want to talk with you today about expect favor when you follow. I think it's safe to say we all want favor from God, His grace, His mercy, the good things that He promises. But before God opens the windows of heaven, so to speak, before He showers us with His blessings, His kindness, His favor, He's waiting for us to take an important step first. He's waiting for us to follow Him and obey. Now, obedience isn't just about adhering to a bunch of rules that may or may not make sense to you. At its heart, obedience is about hearing the voice of God and responding out of love. The word obedience comes from a Latin root, which literally means to hear or to listen. And so the more we listen and obey what God has declared over our lives, following His commands, doing what He tells us, staying true to our values and refusing to compromise, the more we step out in obedience, the more God's favor will show out in our lives. I think we all know what happens when we don't obey people in authority. Your boss, your teachers, your parents. We all know what happens, right? And last time I checked, nothing good comes of it. I learned this very young as a 4-year-old child about obedience. Growing up, my mom would take my brother and me to church every Sunday. She'd dress us up in our little coats and ties. That's what you did back then. And she would put us in the back seat of the car and she'd say, "Now be quiet, sit still, and behave," while she went back upstairs to finish getting ready. Well, one Sunday, I got tired of waiting, so I hopped into the front seat, pretended to be driving. My brother, who is older and much wiser than I, both then and now, warned me against it, said, "Don't do it, don't do it. Mom will get mad, she won't like it, it's not safe." But did I listen or obey? No way. I was having way too much fun steering the steering wheel, honking the horn. Back then it was manual, so you didn't have to have the key. I was honking the horn and pretending to be in traffic like I'd seen my dad do so many times. When my mom came rushing down the stairs into the garage where the car was parked, told me to stop it and get back in the back seat. She was flustered because my father didn't go to church with us. On Sundays, he liked to sleep in. Never a good idea, but that's what he did. And my mom was worried that all that racket I was making, all the noise, the honking and the giggling and the laughing would wake him up and make him mad. But as soon as she went back up the stairs, I went back to doing the same thing. Front seat, steering the steering wheel, honking the horn. Well, she hurried down a second time, gave me an even sterner warning. Don't do that again. You're going to wake your father up. But did I listen or obey? Absolutely not. It's like I couldn't even hear her. But I will tell you this. The third time my mom had to come down and tell me to stop it, that's when I listened. That's when I obeyed. Because let's just say there were some negative consequences that resulted. And I learned pretty fast. Bad things tend to happen when we don't obey people who are legitimately in charge. But the opposite is also true. Good things happen when we do obey. Promotion at work, better grades at school, staying out of traffic court. The same is true with God. But God goes even further. When you obey Him, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised. What am I saying? When you obey God, you can expect more than you expected. You can expect uncommon favor when you follow Him. This is what the lepers in today's gospel, what happened to them. Jesus was walking, traveling through a region called Galilee in Samaria. As He was entering a village, 10 lepers met Him. They stood at a distance from Him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when Jesus saw them, He simply said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, that doesn't really make sense unless you understand the context. It feels kind of hard, cruel, mean even. But here's the context. Here's what was happening. Back then, leprosy was not just a medical problem. It was a life problem. You couldn't live with your family, be around other people, go into town, or have a job. Anyone with leprosy would have to call out in a loud voice, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that others would stay away. It was a very lonely and isolated existence. The only way you could re-enter society as a leper would be if a priest examined you and declared you to be clean. Not a job I would want to have, thank you very much, but that's what they did back then. If a priest examined you and he declared you clean, you could re-enter in society. So that's why Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." But I can imagine those lepers wondering why Jesus didn't just heal them right then and there. Why would He make them go the long, arduous, 3-day walk down to Jerusalem to see the priests in the temple? After all, lepers back then, you know, they would typically have sores all over their bodies. Their feet and their legs would be numb. Their joints would ache. It would not be an easy stroll down to see a priest, enjoying the vista, praying along the way. No, it would be, every step would be agony. And I'm also pretty sure that those lepers had heard Jesus' reputation about how He had healed people on the spot, just with a word from His mouth or a touch from His hand. So they could have gotten very upset, angry, sour, whined and moaned, refused to go down to Jerusalem, but instead they obeyed. And the passage says, as they were going, they were cleansed. What's interesting is that the miracle happened on the way. They didn't have to go all the way to Jerusalem because their obedience opened the door to their healing. They just had to follow in faith to find the favor. Sometimes it's easy to just complain, right? Just easy to complain and tune out what God is telling us. No, God, I don't want to hear that. But the reason we stumble sometimes, I think, is because we often drag our own feet, resist, refuse to follow where the Lord is calling us to go. We can become our own worst enemies. This is what happened in the first reading today to a man named Naaman. He was a foreigner, a Syrian general, a high-ranking military officer, a powerful man. But one day, disaster struck, and he came down with leprosy. Couldn't imagine a worse scenario. But one of his servants, a young Israelite woman, advised Naaman to go to Israel and visit the prophet Elisha. She said Elisha could heal Naaman of his leprosy. At first, Naaman agreed. But when he got there, Elisha had sent word from afar with instructions about what Naaman should do. The instructions were to go down to the Jordan River, wash himself 7 times, and he would be healed of his leprosy. Well, Naaman got upset. He expected Elisha to come out, greet him, show him the respect that he deserved, pray over him personally, provide concierge medical service. So Elisha stomped off in a rage and refused to obey Elisha's instructions. Fortunately, his servants, people who understood the concept of obedience, talked some sense into him, and Naaman eventually did what Elisha told him to do. He went down to the river, he washed 7 times, and he was healed of his leprosy. And after that, Naaman was so grateful, he came back to Elisha, and he changed his tune. His whole attitude was different. He said, "Please, let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I shall not offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god than to the Lord." Naaman was not only healed of his leprosy, he received the greatest miracle of all, the gift of faith in the Most High God. Naaman followed, and God's favor fell on him. Listening to God's voice, obeying his word, is the key that unlocks the door to his blessings, his goodness, the things we seek from God in our lives. A friend of mine learned this a while back. For many years, he had just enjoyed his life, like many of us have done, right? He had fast cars, fun parties and good times in life. He wasn't a bad person. He was Catholic. He would come to Mass from time to time. But like a lot of people in that stage of his life, he kind of only half listened to what God was telling him, tuned him out completely sometimes. But then one day, his 5-year-old nephew got sick, lost his appetite, constant fever, was in bad shape, tired all the time. It was serious. It turned out to be something called a neuroblastoma, which is a very rare form of cancer in children. And that cancer had wrapped around the young boy's artery leading to his kidney. It was basically a death sentence. The doctors said there was almost no chance of survival. Everyone was devastated, including my friend. But then he heard God calling him, telling him to change his life, to get more serious about his faith. And after that, he started going back to church. He started praying more often. And then one day, he made a deal with God. He said, "God, if you will heal my young nephew, I will spend 1 hour a day, every day for the rest of my life, praying before the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel." 1 year later, that little boy made a miraculous recovery. The doctors couldn't explain it. It didn't make sense, but he was declared cancer-free. And today, thanks be to God, he's 16 years old, happy, healthy, whole, vibrant, energetic, enjoying life. That's the result of God's amazing grace. But it wasn't the only gift that came out of that really difficult situation. The most powerful thing, I think, is that my friend truly became a man of God. And today, he's still in that chapel, praying 1 hour a day, even more. He's still listening to God's word, growing in faith, honoring the Lord, and following his word. Following his word. There's an old saying that long obedience in the same direction is what makes life worth living. God is not like a candy machine. You can't just put money in and expect the candy to come out right away. But when you're faithful over the long term, when you obey year after year, even when it's easier, you feel like giving up and walking away, when you let God do things his way and in his time, when you stop telling God your plans and then expecting him to put them into effect. When you start listening to him and stop telling him how and when to do things, that's when the favor, the abundance, the goodness comes. In the gospel reading, only one leper came back to give thanks to Jesus. The passage says, as one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God. Glorifying God. And that word in that sentence, realized, it comes from a Greek word that means a sudden, conscious awareness. He noticed, he recognized, and he heard deep down inside what God had done for him. And gratitude is the highest form of obedience. And so when that leper turned around, walked all the way back to that village, dropped to his knees and thanked Jesus, praising God with a grateful heart, God gave him something he never expected. When Jesus said, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." See, the leper was not only healed of his leprosy, he was given the ultimate gift of salvation, more than he expected. The God who healed Naaman, who cleansed the 10 lepers on their way, saved the one who came back to give thanks, the same God who brought a little boy back to life and a party boy to his knees, is still at work today. Our job is not to question how, why, when, or where. Our job is to hear and obey. Our job is to keep walking when the road seems long, keep loving when it's easier to complain, because when you follow God's voice, his favor follows you. When you stay alert to what he's telling you as best you can, when you listen to his voice as best you can, follow his advice and do the hard thing and obey, you can expect unexpected things, uncommon favor. Doors will open, breakthroughs you've been praying for years will finally happen. Restoration, healing, opportunities, more than you imagined, will meet you along the road of obedience. So take that next step of faith, whatever it is in your life. Listen to his voice, obey his call. Because when you hear the voice of the Most High God, the sovereign God over all the universe, when you follow him in faith, when you follow his commandments, when you keep his covenant, when you do his will instead of your own, you can expect favor that heals, favor that saves, and favor that carries you into the life you were meant to live.